let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless state and has shed His own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of people in our congregation that are grieving and mourning this morning, and Susan Richardson's aunt, her aunt Catherine Tickle, passed away in her sleep, and we need to remember that family. And I know there are a lot of people in our congregation that are grieving this morning. And Lord, I just thank you right now. It is well with our soul because Jesus, you are alive, and you sit in heaven. And Psalm 2 says that you laugh because you know what is to come. The kings of the earth take their stand against you and His anointed one. But Lord, I thank you that you are a soon incoming King, that you are victorious. And Lord, this kingdom is passing, this earth is passing away. But you said, Lord, that your kingdom will live and endure forever. And Lord, we praise you and we bless you that you rule and you reign and your name is faithful and true. Lord, we pray for Susan Richardson's family as they grieve the death of her aunt. And Jesus, we pray you'd comfort. Lord, we ask all of those in this congregation that are grieving this morning, the loss of a loved one, Lord, you know who they are. And Jesus, we just ask you to surround them with your peace, with your comfort, with your love. Thank you that your name, Holy Spirit, is Comforter. That's your name. And so I just pray that you would embrace them and hold them close. And Lord, that they would know your presence and they would know your peace. We pray, Father, for Shirley Bomeister. We pray continued strength to be upon her. Lord, we pray that as she gets her stitches out on Thursday, Lord, that there would be just continued no infection in that. Just sustain her and bless her. We bless Don in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless him as he cares for her. And Lord, just bless and heal and restore. We pray for Danielle Emling, Lord, and the loss of her grandmother, Ruby. And Jesus, again, we just pray you would hold her close and comfort that family in the name of Jesus. We pray for Pam Logan, Lord, surgery on Tuesday. Lord, we just pray the bleeding in her brain would stop. That you would guide the doctor's hand. And Lord, we pray healing on Pam. We pray for Dawn, Lord, with back issues. And we just say to that back to be whole. Lord, our mayor. We pray for Mayor Olanji, Lord, that you would just bless our leaders in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would have wisdom, that they would have hearts, Lord, that fear you and honor you. Lord, that they would not only look out for their own interests, but, Lord, that they would truly look out for the interest of others. And, Lord, you'd give them a servant's heart. Lord, we pray for all evil schemes, Lord, to be revealed. And, Lord, we pray peace. We cry out to you for mercy. We cry out to you for healing of our land. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for our offering. We thank you, Lord, for generous givers. Lord, your word says that you love joyful givers. And Lord, I pray for joy for the givers this morning. And Lord, we pray that you bless this offering. We're so thankful for it. And Lord, we pray that we would have But Jill Briscoe on that day said that Scripture is like green grass, and when you go to His Word, there's always green grass there. And so, probably a very familiar passage of Scripture that we're going to look at. You've probably heard it before, but I learned something new this week that just was so fun and so delightful and so profound, and I'm excited to share it with you today. So Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 11, I'm going to go ahead and read all of that. I spent a lot of time last week on the first part of this psalm, or the psalm, first part of this chapter. I'm not going to do that a lot today, but I just want to put it all in context. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 7, Paul says, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. And just to review, what's the gain? Whatever gain I had, and he had listed that earlier. We talked a lot about that last week. He was saying, I'm born from the right people. Come from the right tribe. I have the right education. I obeyed all the rules. I was passionate. I had everything to be a good Jew. I had a good pedigree. And last week I misspoke. One of the really embarrassing things about watching yourself on video or listening to yourself, yeah, Anita's like, yeah, right, is sometimes we misspeak. Sometimes we just say stupid stuff. Stupid stuff just falls out of our mouth. And I did that last Sunday. I think I said Galileo, that he studied under Galileo. That was so wrong. He studied under Gamaliel. Gamaliel. And that was a silly thing that I said, but I want to get that straight. Gamaliel. And something really fun that's interesting that I just want to share with you since I messed that up last week. He's mentioned in Acts chapter 5 when Peter and John have been in prison and they're debating what to do with them. And you know, they say, don't speak anymore in this name. And they're debating what to do. Gamaliel is actually mentioned. And so Acts chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. He said to the men of Israel, take care of what you're about to do with these men. And he's very, very, very wise. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul is sharing his testimony. Acts 22, verse 3, that's where Paul is actually given his pedigree again. And he said he studied under Gamaliel. And so he had a great education. He was a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. He had all of this going for him. And yet Paul says, I consider it all a loss. And that word for loss is like what you do for an insurance loss. Like if a tornado would come and blow our house down, we would write it off as a loss. And that's what Paul's saying. None of that matters. None of it matters. My pedigree doesn't consider all of it a loss. Compared to what? I count as a loss for the sake of Christ. I just want you to think about how dramatic a turn that was for Paul. Educated, bright, persecutor of Christians. You look back at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. In Acts chapter 7, it says they were laying, those who were stoning him, they laid their coats there at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was there. He was giving approval. And he ravaged the church of Jesus Christ. You look over in Galatians 1:13. Again, Paul's giving his testimony. And he said, I ravaged the church of Christ. I hated them. I wanted to go after, you know, I that's who I was. And he has this dramatic change. And Paul is now saying, I consider all of who I was and all of that, I consider that a loss. So dramatic. And what has become the focus of Paul's life? Verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul writes in the letters to Corinth, and he says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And Paul had been blind. He was well educated. He was passionate. He knew he was bright. And yet there was blinders over his eyes. He could not see who Jesus was. The scary thing about him, to me as a preacher, a person who loves the Word of God, Paul knew the Word. He knew the Word. But it wasn't enough. His eyes were blinded. And on that road to Damascus, he's going there to destroy the men and the women who knew Jesus. On that road to Damascus, what happens to him? Jesus, resurrected Jesus Christ, appears to him. He doesn't know right away that it's Jesus. And he hears the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul says, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he's immediately blind. And just this dramatic encounter with Jesus. And Paul, talk about repenting in the way you think. I mean, he changed the way he thought. And Jesus came in and radically saved him. Dramatic. Jesus has become the focus of Paul's life. Not his learning, but this revelation, this encounter of Jesus. And the key here, it's so subtle, but look at verse 8. This is the only time, and Paul wrote most of our New Testament, and you can see his brilliance and his training as he's writing these epistles, and just the profound insight that he has into the Old Testament, but now this through Holy Spirit and this encounter with Jesus, it's amazing what he has. But what's the key here? Verse 8. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. My Lord. That's the only time in all of Paul's letters that he says, my Lord. Any other time he's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. But right here, Christ Jesus, my Lord. For every single one of us. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. To say, well, and I'll just use my story as an example. You've heard me. You've heard my testimony. Many of you have. I've shared it here before. I thought I could get into heaven by the coattails of my grandparents. Both of my grandparents. knocking on the door of my heart, Christ Jesus, my Lord. And last week we talked about it. We can't trust in, Paul was trusting in all of these other things. We can't trust in church attendance. We can't trust in our morality. We have to trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's only through Jesus that we are saved. It's through faith. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being resurrected, and Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the key. We have to encounter Him for ourselves. And Paul says, I did that. I was a sinner. I was the worst of sinners. But I encountered Jesus, and now He is my Lord. And His ultimate goal in verses 8 through 9, He says, in order that I may gain Christ. And that word for gain, you look, and I just want to share one I listed. It's listed in all three of the Gospels, but I want to read Mark's version. His ultimate goal, Luke chapter 9. Start in verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains? There's our word, gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Paul says, I want to gain Christ. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. His ultimate goal. Paul had found the pearl of great price. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 10, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Isn't that beautiful? Saul, this one who had persecuted Christians, who has this encounter, and the Lord has come in and He's forgiven him of his sins and has completely changed him. And Paul is saying, I want to know Him. And as Western thinkers, we tend to think the word know is all head knowledge. I say, do you know something? And that's just the way we think. Way of thinking is very much our Western way of culture. And that little word for know is beyond what we know in our head. It's a knowing that needs to encounter. It's a knowing which needs to experience. David writes in the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. Fascinating language, isn't it? Taste and see that He's good. There is an element of knowing God that's beyond what our head, what we believe in our head. There is an encounter with Him. There is an experience with Him. Have any of you ever experienced the peace of the God, the peace of the Lord? We're going to reach there in Philippians in a couple weeks, but that peace that surpasses all understanding. Y'all, that doesn't make sense. Have you ever experienced just that overwhelming peace of the Lord? Or that overwhelming joy of the Lord? It's because Jesus is alive. He's alive in you. We can experience Him. And Paul says, I don't want to just know Him in my mind, but I want to know Him. I want to experience Him. I want to know His love. I want to know His peace. I want to encounter Him. I want to taste and see that He's good. I want to know Him, experience Him, encounter Him. And then there's two, I did my best to try to, without being real, I start getting flashbacks if I start diagramming sentences. So I tried my best to diagram it without looking like I was trying to diagram it on your outline if you have that. But I want to know Him. And then He lists two things. And the first is, in the power of His resurrection. Paul, in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, may spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know the hope to which he's called you, and the power for those of us who believe. That word for power is the word where we get our word dynamite. And Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and he also said that you're going to do greater works than these. Can you believe that? He said that about you. He said that about the church. You're going to do greater works than I do. You're like, say what? When we surrender to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want everything you died to give me. You all, we have power to do the supernatural things. We can lay our hands on people and the power of God flowing through us. And we tend to settle for so little when Jesus died to give us so much. And I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven and poured out his Holy Spirit, you have that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside you. Power. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And I used to, when I would read this, be like, yeah, I want that. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Woo, yeah. But then you get to the second part. And the fellowship of his sufferings. No, I don't want that part. I don't want that part. And the fellowship of his sufferings. But my insight that I got this week, and forgive me here, I've had this mask hanging in the room where I do my laundry, and the cats hang out there, so I think I have a cat here from wearing my mask on, so I'm sorry. I'm being annoying. I know, it's ugh, so sorry about that. For those of you who are here. But I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That word for fellowship is the word koinonia. And I heard that word a lot. Have you heard that word before? I've heard that word a lot. And it's in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, the fellowship and prayer. Fellowship. Okay? Being together, communion, close interaction. It's not a word that's distant. It's a word for kind of intimate knowing. It means to participate. It means to come together. Fellowship of his sufferings. So yes, one of the things that means, Jesus says in John chapter 15, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So yes, there is an element that if we follow Jesus, people are going to hate us. That's just what it is. They hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. So yes, that's part of it. You know the second part of this word? This is what blew me away this week. The fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus' blood was shed for you. On a normal Sunday, or Sunday of the month, we would celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're kind of doing that COVID stuff. agitated. We start feeling really tired. Jesus, I need your life today. I need to know, Jesus, fresh and anew, that you are my Prince of Peace. I want to know that fresh and anew today, Jesus. I need that. We wake up. We're not feeling good. We've sinned. We've made a mistake. Jesus, forgive me. I need your forgiveness. I need, Lord, the healing of your blood. Lord, I need that in my life. And so we become acquainted with it. We encounter it. We engage with it. That's part of what it means to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. That it's more than just coming to church. It's a personal encounter. It's a personal every day, minute by minute, hour by hour. And we're not cognizant of it sometimes minute by minute. But just sometimes I'll have to bring my thoughts back. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you that you sit on the throne. Thank you that amidst all of this chaos, Lord, thank you that you're the Prince of Peace. Thank you that you're everlasting Father. Thank you, Jesus. And we fellowship with that. It becomes real in our lives. And my prayer for you today is as you go home and we take the Lord's Supper, you can do it by yourself. You don't have to. I'm going to do a Facebook Live at 1:30 today where we can do it corporately together, kind of corporately, but do it. But my prayer for you is when we do that, that it's more than a ritual and that it really would be something that you would do. Sometimes I've done it daily. Sometimes I've done it a couple times a day. I'll do it in the morning and I'll do it at night, just trying to be reminded, Jesus, your body broken, the life of Jesus Christ, your blood poured out. It helps to center me. And what are we doing when we do that? We commune. Communion. We're communing with the Father who loves us, with that Father who is not far away, who is not distant. I want to know him. That was Paul's passion. I want to encounter him. I want to experience him in the power of his resurrection. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what the next 6 months are going to be like. I have an inkling, but I don't know for sure. But I do know that what the world needs, they don't need a bunch. They don't just need to come to church, sit through a few hymns, hear a cute little sermon, and go on about their way. They need to encounter the living God who loves them, that has delivered them, that is with them, that wants to deliver them from depression, that wants to deliver them from disease, that wants to heal them. And the Lord is dying, the world is dying for an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is it going to come through? It's going to come through us. It's going to come through you. It's going to come through what we say. It's going to come through just us. And we need to be his hands and his feet. We need to be communing with him daily, receiving his love, receiving his peace. This passion that was in Paul, may it be in us. Lord, I want to know you. It's not good enough to be a good person. It's not good enough to go into heaven on the coattails of anybody else. He wants to be my Lord. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to encounter you. He wants to feed you. He wants to equip you. He wants to give you power so we can go out and be his witnesses in this world. Amen? This world needs to see Jesus alive, and they're going to see Jesus alive through us. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In the end, what did Jesus die to give us? He died to give us life, and life more abundantly. May we take time to receive, to hear, to listen. We go home, we take the Lord's Supper. Lord, I want to encounter you fresh and anew. Jesus, I need you. I don't trust in any other thing other than you. Jesus, come. Come in as I take the bread. Jesus, as I take the blood, there's healing in my body. Lord, I just ask you to bring healing. I ask you to restore me. I pray, Lord, I would know the joy of your salvation. That's what the world needs. show all of us what that looks like, to know you in the power of your resurrection. And Lord, that we would know you in the fellowship of your sufferings. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, I pray, Lord, we would stand for you, that we would be steadfast for you. But Lord, even more importantly for that, Lord, we can only do that if we truly encounter you and fellowship with you, your body broken, your blood poured out. Lord, we need you. We need you. Come. Fill us. Change us. Transform us. To be more and more like your Son. For your glory, Jesus, we pray it. Amen. I'm going to read the words. Rich is going to play. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. You can sit, you can stand, however you want to worship the Lord best. You're welcome just to do whatever feels good to you. You want to stand, stand. You want to stay seated, stay seated. But 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know